Good morning, everyone. And thank you, Lisa, for that very kind introduction. I know Lisa and I have, she's seen me since I was like a baby. So, yes, 30 plus years. Okay, well, I am so excited to be here with you. It really is a privilege. And I know that Saturday mornings are precious commodities for many of us. So the fact that you guys are here and you are awake and having a heart deserve really says a lot. So will you just pray with me just one more time before we begin? Heavenly Father, we just give you thanks for you are good. And Lord, you do good for us, Lord. And just thank you for that song. Just you're working for your glory and for our good. Thank you for the ways that you have given us your word to guide us. I pray, Lord, that you would speak through your word this morning, that you would encourage all of our hearts in the area of service, and that you would calm my heart, Lord, that I might speak clearly and just be able to offer some encouragement to these ladies here this morning from your word. So we give you thanks, Lord, and may you just be glorified this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you. So like Lisa said, I am blessed to serve here at Lighthouse in our children's ministry and also as part of our Lamplighters ministry. And in addition to serving here at church and also serving at home, my family, another one of my roles is serving as a dietitian at Torrance Memorial. So as a dietitian, I help people decide what to eat and how to make realistic changes that lead to a healthier life. And one issue that I see over and over again is energy imbalance. So that's when somebody is constantly taking in more fuel than they are burning. So lots of input, but not enough output. And when that happens consistently, it starts to affect their health in many different ways. But here's the thing. This is not just a physical problem. This is a spiritual one, too. As Christians in America, we have incredible access to spiritual nourishment. We soak in rich sermons here at church. We read our Bibles. We attend Bible studies. We read Christian books. We listen to recorded sermons and podcasts, even attend conferences and events. Many of our souls are well fed, and that is a blessing. But what happens when we take in all that truth and don't put it into action? Spiritual energy imbalance. Lots of input, but not enough output. James 2:26 tells us, "For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead." That's strong language, and that's because faith being worked out matters to God. Just like physical exercise strengthens our bodies, loving and serving others strengthens our faith. At times, it stretches us out of our comfort zones. It builds our spiritual endurance muscles, and it trains our hearts to treasure Christ above all other things. We need spiritual nourishment, yes, but we also need spiritual exercise. Perhaps many of us know how hard it is to start exercising if you don't already, or how to be consistent with it if you do. So this is why we all need encouragement to serve. So today we're going to look at some verses in 1 Peter to explore how we can all seek to exercise our faith by serving in ways that strengthen us, that bless others, and glorify God. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and open it to 1 Peter chapter 4. And if you don't have your Bible, the verses will be right up there on the screen. So one thing I want you to keep in mind is that these verses were written to believers scattered across the Roman world who also needed encouragement and exhortation to exercise their faith amidst the challenges they were facing. For them, it was having their beliefs misunderstood or many times unwelcome. And for us, we have challenges to our faith too. They might look a little different, like temptations to idolize comfort, wealth, or achievement, or really to live just busy and distracted lives. Yet the inner challenge for us both is to live faithfully in an unfaithful world and to honor Christ and love each other even when it's hard. So amidst all these challenges to exercise our faith, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 4, starting in verse 8, and let's read that together. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I wanted to offer four encouragements from these verses about how we can exercise our faith by the way that we serve others. The first encouragement is this: seek to love. Within these four short verses, the phrase one another appears three times. If you heard Jen teach on studying God's word at the Spring Women's event, then you know that when we see words repeated, we ought to pay attention. This phrase, one another, appears 100 times in the New Testament, with over 50 of those occurrences being commands as to how we ought to love, serve, encourage, and support one another. This should alert us to how important it is the way that we live together as Christians in Christian community. In verses 8 through 10, Peter calls his readers to love one another earnestly, to show hospitality to one another without grumbling, and to use their gifts to serve one another. When we do something earnestly, it means we are truly committed or deeply sincere about it. Why does he have to instruct his readers in this way? Because he knows it's challenging to sincerely love other sinful people and to be hospitable without grumbling, or to choose to use your talents to serve others instead of serving your own agenda. And we also might know this to be true. It's not always convenient, easy, or fun. But when we heed these commands and seek to love, it is a beautiful thing. It's a picture of the body of Christ, diverse members with diverse gifts coming together to serve the body. Romans 12, 4 through 5 says, "For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another." I have experienced beautiful examples of people living out these passages in our church. Our family has been a recipient of earnest love, hospitality, and service from this church family. When Rich has traveled for ministry, beloved families from this church have earnestly loved us by proactively reaching out to me and texting me to let me know that they're praying for us, checking in on us, and seeing how we're doing. They have shown us hospitality without grumbling by inviting me and my girls over for meals, even when it's a busy VBS week. They've used their gifts to serve us by offering to come over and wash the dishes or helping with childcare. They did this even though they had their own dishes to wash, their own families to care for, and their own loads to bear. And when they and many of you have served our family in these ways, it has been a beautiful picture of the body of Christ to our family. To add to this, another way we can seek to earnestly love and serve one another is through discipleship and service. So we have an opportunity to invite others to partner with us in serving each other. There are talents that many of you have in this room that can bless people immensely. But is there anyone that you could bring along with you to serve with you, that you can train in service? Titus 2, 3 through 5 says, "Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled." We need each other to learn how to love well. Jesus learned how to be a carpenter from his father. I learned sourdough bread making, small group leading, and how to homeschool from sisters at Lighthouse. We learn from each other, and this is the beauty of the church family. And because of the sisters who have taken the time to train me in service, I have been better equipped to serve my family, neighbors, in the church. And there is so much talent, knowledge, and skill in the women of this church. And when we partner together to serve one another and disciple one another in service, we can be even more effective in our service to God and others. And service doesn't just mean formal serving roles. With exercise, I encourage clients not only to look for formal ways to add exercise to their days, but also to look for informal opportunities to move. The former might be like a 30-minute run, a Zumba class, or a workout at the gym, but the latter looks for ways to add more movement throughout the day. Take the stairs, park further away, use your 10-minute break to walk. But we can also apply this principle to service. There are formal opportunities and also informal. Perhaps you're in a season where you have more time for a more formal serving opportunity. So look for these. Children's ministry, bridge ministry, women's ministry, connections, those are just a few. But there are also plentiful informal opportunities to serve through relationships that we have or ones that are forming. You can show hospitality to a newcomer by welcoming them and introducing yourself. You can train somebody else to serve in a way that you are skilled. You can send a text or a prayer or do a small act of kindness to brighten somebody's day. Are we willing to do the hard work of seeking to love the people around us? If we are, we will discover opportunities all around us to love one another earnestly. My second encouragement to you is this: seek to steward. Verse 10 reads, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace." This verse begins with, "As each has received a gift." It doesn't say for the select people who were given a gift or to the extremely talented but select few. Okay, every believer has been given something to offer. Every believer has at least one gift from God to be used to serve and love others. Sometimes we can struggle to believe that we have anything to offer, but the enemy would love to keep us discouraged in believing this lie. We have all been given something. Notice the second part of verse 10 says, "as good stewards of God's varied grace." I love that God loves diversity. We see it all over his creation: diversity of flowers, animals, races, personalities of people, and gifts. We are not all given the same thing, but we've all been given something. You might think, I'm too quiet to lead, but you might be a really good listener. You might not be a baby person, but maybe you could serve an older child with the bridge ministry. You might be a great cook, but even if you're not, you can help provide a meal for somebody who is sick or hurting. You might feel too timid to be a greeter, but perhaps you could help with the parking ministry. We recently went through the Treasure in Christ series together, and many of you might have read The Treasure Principle by Randy Alcorn in small groups. This verse calls us to be good stewards of God's varied grace. The topic of stewardship is not a new one, but it's one that we often need to be reminded of. And the Treasure in Christ initiative was really impactful in reminding us that we are stewards of all that God has entrusted to us. Randy Alcorn helps elaborate on God's ownership of all things. He writes, "If God was the owner, I was the manager. I needed to adopt a steward's mentality toward the assets that he had entrusted, not given, to me. A steward manages assets for the owner's benefit. The steward carries no sense of entitlement to the assets he manages. It's his job to find out what the owner wants done with his assets, then carry out his will." We are not only stewards of the physical and material possessions that God has entrusted to us, but we are also stewards of the gifts and the talents that God allows us to have. God desires us to use these gifts and talents to love and serve others. Do you have a steward's mentality with your gifts, or do you see your abilities as your own? Do you ever think about your talents and your skills as needed to be stewarded to accomplish God's will? If you look around our church, I see examples of the beauty of this diversity of gifts and faithful stewards stewarding them well. One recent example was VBS. I saw creative artists using their skills to transform the sanctuary and the classrooms into bug jungles. I saw musicians and dancers using their gifts on stage to lead the kids in worship. I saw AV people back there running the sound and the lights, teachers teaching, missionaries sharing, teens serving, crafters crafting, bakers making snacks, and baby cuddlers bouncing babies. Okay, doesn't it feel powerful when the church comes together like that around a common goal, using their gifts to make something incredible like VBS possible? And that's what our whole lives should be about. Using our varied gifts to come around a common goal, a mission to see the lost saved and disciples made and the church built, like the church in Acts 2, where the believers were devoted to the teaching of the apostles and had fellowship, unity, generosity, hospitality, and love that drew others to Christ. The abilities that you have are a grace from God, and our faithful stewardship of these abilities matters. We all long to hear the words found in Matthew 25, "Well done, good and faithful servant," one day. And faithful stewardship starts here and now, even when we're busy raising families or having careers or caring for aging parents. So what gift have you been entrusted with? God has something that he wants you to do with it, someone he wants you to love with your gifts. What are we doing with what God has entrusted to us? My third encouragement for you this morning is seek God's strength. Let's look at verse 11 that says, "Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies." There is a right way and there is a wrong way to serve. And sometimes we don't get it right. I'm going to give you an example this morning by sharing with you a story that my dad would call showing you what not to do by doing it. It was one of those mornings, I remember it clearly, I was on my hands and knees under the table, picking up crumbs and hair for about the fourth time before 10 a.m. And I was not happy about it. Then all the thoughts started flowing. Was this what my life was about? Cleaning up crumbs made by little people all the day long? Why had I gone to grad school only to be on the floor picking up hair? What is the purpose of doing this over and over again just to be down here again? I could be doing something meaningful, like helping to dig a well in Honduras or evangelizing in the jungles of Cameroon. So while my body was in the posture of service, my heart was not. I was trying to serve by my own strength. And guess what? My own strength was limited and frail and impacted by too little sleep and too many crumbs and fatigue over the mundane nature of caregiving for young children. And isn't this usually where we struggle? In the repetitive, mundane opportunities to serve. But God, in his kindness, met me under the table that morning. Because at that moment, when I was grumbling about serving my kids and my family by sweeping up their crumbs, he reminded me how he stooped down to wash his disciples' feet. Not grumbling or begrudgingly, like I was doing that morning, but willingly and lovingly. And that reminder brought me to repentance and reminded me that what fuels us to serve and allows us to take that heart posture of service and humility is Christ doing it for us first. And what gives us the strength to serve even when it's hard or mundane is God's grace. John 15:5 says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I am him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Our strength comes from abiding in the vine. Without abiding in Christ, without drawing strength from God, we wither and can do nothing. When we abide and have faith in God to provide the grace we need, he can bear much fruit through us. I think this is also where we are supposed to be unique from the world around us. The world believes in self-reliance. But as Christians, we have access to the fountain of strength And God gives us the grace to continue to serve when it's hard and even to find fellowship with Christ in this. The moments when I lay down my preferences, my rights, even reliance on my own strength, I bear a little bit more of his likeness. And when we bear his image, it lets people see Christ and it brings God glory. Because it's not natural, it's not normal, and it's not logical to the world. But as the watching world sees Christians give away time and money and talents to help others, it makes them wonder, what would motivate someone to live like that? And the answer isn't found in obligation or guilt. It is found in Jesus. He went first. Philippians 2, 6 through 8 says that Christ, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus didn't just come to give us an example of humility. He came to save us. The Son of God stooped low, not only to wash feet, but to bear our sins. He lived the perfect life that we couldn't live and died the death that we deserved so that we could be forgiven and restored and given new life. And now everything that we give, our time, our resources, our service, our lives, it's simply a response to the grace that we've received. We don't serve to earn his love. We serve because we already have it. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, I hope that you're curious about this servant king. He gave everything for you. And he invites you to know him, to follow him, and to be changed by his love. If you want to know more, please talk to the friend that brought you here today, or to the leaders of today's event, or to myself, and we'd love to share more with you about Jesus. So, sisters, are we depending on ourselves for the strength to serve God and others? Or are we abiding in the vine and relying on God and his grace to produce good fruit through us? Let us be those who look to Christ and serve with the strength that God provides. My fourth encouragement for you this morning is this: seek God's glory. Verse 11 concludes with this: the reason why we love and serve one another, the reason why we steward his gifts and serve by the strength he provides, it says, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The goal of our service is not to earn favor from God. We already have that through Christ. It is not to make much of ourselves, to receive credit or applause for the ways that we serve. The goal is that God may be glorified, that he would get the credit, the honor, and the worship. The king gets the glory, not the servants in his kingdom. When we are loving and discipling one another, when we use the talents that God has entrusted us to love and serve others, when we remain dependent on God for strength to do this well, this brings glory to God and displays him to a watching world. And this all takes place through Jesus Christ, because he is our mediator to the king, without whom we would have no access, no right to even be called servants of God, no ability to please God. This passage ends with, to him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. God alone is great and worthy of worship and honor, and he has all authority eternally. So, sisters, God in his kindness invites us into his service, not only for his glory, but because it is for our highest good. He knows that we will be most satisfied and healthy when we are not only being fed and eating of his word, but also exercising our faith by serving him and loving others. So let us exercise our faith in this way, by seeking to love others earnestly, by seeking to steward the talents that he has entrusted to us, by seeking God's strength to keep serving, and seeking God's glory in all of our service. I'm going to close by sharing with you a story of a dear sister from Lighthouse who we recently released to heaven, who embodied the heart of service that we have been talking about today. You may have heard about Mijay's battle with cancer and her recent passing. But I wanted to testify to the ways that Mijay served, even in her final days here on earth. Several months ago, Mijay invited me and a few other Lighthouse ladies to join in praying for her. And through this, we began texting here and there. I would text her scripture or songs and let her know that we were praying for her. And her response was always gratitude. She would say how she was reciting scripture and meditating on it and taking comfort in it. She sent me songs that were ministering to her, saying, "May it be a source of blessing to you today." She spoke of crying out in desperation to God and not knowing what to say, but taking comfort in his desire for her to just come to him. She asked us for our prayer requests. She showed us hospitality by inviting us into her life, even in suffering, and into her hospital room, even in one of her most vulnerable states. Even in our final visit with her before she passed, she allowed us to witness her faith as she clung to God and to his word read aloud for her and sung to her. Mijay served by praying, by encouraging, by showing us an example of what it is to cling to God for strength and how to glorify God even in death. By her life and example, she discipled me in what it is to finish well and keep the faith, an example I will never forget. And in all this, she strengthened me in the faith. And I hope that her story strengthens you, the church, to fight for faith even in suffering. Maybe you're in a season of suffering right now and feel unable to physically serve much. But as you fight for faith in your suffering, let this be your service to God and your witness to those around you. It is less about what our hands accomplish and more about our hearts' desire to love others, to be faithful stewards for God, to find strength in Christ, and to bring him glory. So may God in his grace allow us to serve with hearts like these. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for directing us, Lord, in just how we can live to bring you glory, but also how we can live in a way that you know is best for our good. So, Lord, strengthen us in this area of service. Strengthen us to have hearts that are dependent on you, that are willing and wanting to just steward what you have entrusted to us, just to serve and love others and to bring glory to you, God. So we just pray, Lord, that the word spoken this morning would encourage our hearts and they would bear fruit. And thank you that your word does not return void, Lord, and that when it goes out, Lord, that you will accomplish good work through it. So we give you thanks, Lord. Thank you for all the ladies that are here this morning. And thank you for their hearts and willingness to want to serve you. So we pray that you would bless them in that. In Jesus' name, amen.